Every week when I see the kids running in there like that, I just wish people would want to run in to hear the message like that. It is a delight to have each and every one of you here. We do have quite a few visitors, and we welcome you here. For those who are visitors, you do have sermon notes if you desire to follow along. And if I miss a blank or you miss a blank, the answers are on the back portion of that. And also in your bulletin, last week I read an announcement. And we actually put that announcement in the bulletin for you. And that announcement is simply that as a gift to Pastor Trevor and his family for their faithfulness in serving the Church of Jesus Christ, where they were in Rosedale and here, the gift that we're giving them is 8 to 10 weeks of, it's a type of sabbatical, a soul care quest for them to recharge spiritually, emotionally, physically. They've not done anything wrong. This is an absolute blessing and opportunity for us. And please read that insert. And if you have any questions, come and see me. This is an opportunity for us to absolutely bless our brother and sister. We've been talking about prayer. And no, it doesn't say, don't worry, be happy. Some of you may know that old song by Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, instead tell Abba, Abba Father. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning as we move forward. Do I have this rascal on? I do not. There we go. Pastor Trevor already read this. This was Jesus early in his ministry. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This was how he began his ministry. And then toward the end of his ministry, Jesus said this, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And now I know we have a lot of math people here, and I just couldn't wait to use this math symbol. And I put the name underneath of it, therefore. So the Spirit of the Lord Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I've been sent to announce the good news, to preach, and all these things, that the captives free. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Therefore, and I want everyone to read this with me. Therefore, everyone read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on us, because he has anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let me back up there one more. Us. We're the first string. There is no second string. God has called us. He wants to use us to get the good news of Jesus Christ out here. We have the good news. We have the good news. He's living inside of us. He's living inside of us. I think Ravi Zacharias once said, how do you defend a lion? You don't. You just let him out. He's within us. We just let him out. We have the good news. The problem with all of the earth, the problem with North America, does America have problems? Please raise your hand if you think so. Or am I the only one that thinks that we're in such deep weeds? Well, it's Jesus is the solution to our problem. It's not politics. It's not anything except Jesus Christ himself. Amen? And how does that happen? As every one of us are walking in intimacy with God and then inviting others to do the same. That's how it's going to happen. That's how transformation is going to work. It begins with me. It begins with you. It begins with Christ in us, the hope of glory, and people looking at you and saying, there's something different about you. You're a little weird. Whatever it is, we want people to see Christ in us, hope of glory. But if he's not reigning and ruling inside of us, they're just going to see us. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the less impressed I am with me. The less impressed you are with me. Are you with me? We need Christ in us, the hope of glory, and then it becomes contagious to others. That's how this happens. Now, for the regular visitors, you can ignore this next one. At the end of each message, at the end of the sermon notes, there are table talk. There's at least one or two questions that during lunch I've asked you guys to ask each other. So, last week's table talk, look at each other, regular attenders. If you didn't do it, frowny face. If you did it, a smiley face. Just turn to each other. I'm glad to see some smiley faces, but I'm not sure you're smiling because you did it or you're just smiling because of the activity. One more time, Pastor Trevor already said it. I just want to say thank you for those who served. Thank you for those who served. And how I'd want to do that, if you have served or if you have a family member who has served, could you just please stand for a moment? Please stay standing. Nah, you don't get off that easy. If I got to stand, you got to stand. Okay, would you all join me? Would all y'all or yuns, whatever works, would you join me in prayer, praying for those who are currently serving around the world for God's protection upon them? Father in heaven, please, these are representatives standing. Some have served. Some have allowed their children to serve or their parents served. Some have given some. Some have given all. And Father in heaven, we pray for those literally there around the globe standing in harm's way. Freedom is never free. And we know that, as Pastor Trevor said, Jesus, you bought our ultimate freedom on the cross, death on the cross. And many, 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 thousands upon thousands have laid their lives down or sacrificed in some way so that we could be here worshiping you in freedom today. Father, we lift those around the globe right now, men and women around the globe standing in harm's way to protect us, to give us these freedoms, to announce the good news of Jesus Christ boldly. Father, please watch over them. Please protect them. Please be with the chaplains that are there to assist them and to show them the way to Jesus, who is our only hope. Please bless them and bring them home safely. But more than anything, bring them home to yourself. Please. Abba, Father, we ask these things, and we ask them in your name, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement said, amen. And please be seated. So we've been talking about prayer, and let's just, prayer is a mystery. Anyone that tells you they completely understand prayer, stay away from them. Okay? Prayer is a mystery. It is a mystery. Scripture, Jesus himself said that God knows what we need even before we ask. And then he says, go ahead and ask. God knows prayer is a mystery. You can't just put it in a box. Prayer is not magic. There is no magic formula. There's no form that if you get enough people praying with enough faith, it's going to happen. Or if you say these words or these phrases just right, prayer is not magic. Remember, magic is Alibaba and the 40 thieves. And when he came to the cave opening, through magic they opened it. What did they say? Come on, folks. What did they say? Open sesame. Prayer is not magic. Prayer is not magic. There's no magic to it. Prayer is not my wish list. Just listen to yourself praying sometimes. I listen to myself praying sometimes, and I realize how selfish I pray so much of the time. Prayer is not a wish list because God is not Santa Claus. He is not Santa Claus. And God is not, I'd look up how to spell this word, a concierge. Is that said right? On one of my last ministries, I had to travel all over the place, and they gave me a platinum card, and you got a concierge, and every once in a while they'd call me, what do you need? We'll get you anything you want. I never did ask for anything, but God's not a concierge. Okay? He's not there just, you know, wanting. He didn't die on the cross so that we could run around crazy and just ask for anything. Yet at the same time, We're going to talk about two sides of the same coin. The last few weeks I've been talking about prayer is not magic. It's not our wish list. It's not all of that. But now I want to look at the other side of the coin of what prayer is. Prayer is, and here's one of the blanks. If you see that color and underline, that's a blank in your sermon notes if you want to take notes. Prayer is simply talking with God from your heart. That's really all prayer is. It's that simple. Talking to God from your heart. Your heart straight to His heart. That's basically what prayer is. Followers of Jesus pray to the Father, to our Father. Jesus said He's our Father. It's not just Jesus' Father, He's our Father. In the name and in the authority of Jesus. And that means we're living like Jesus is living. Actually, that means the Holy Spirit abiding in us and Jesus abiding in us. And when we abide in Him, we're doing His will because it's Him flowing through us. And then we can pray in His name and in His authority, knowing that it's going to happen. We used Elijah as an example with this. You know, in James, it just says, you know, Elijah's a man just like this. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed and it rained. And it looks like, man, he's got a direct connection. I don't know how many people. Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I know you got a better connection to God than I do. That's not true. The same Holy Spirit in me is the same Holy Spirit in you. Elijah, we looked at that. If you go back and read the rest of the story in Kings, I ran into another story of Elijah, the one we looked at. And so there he was. He prayed that it wouldn't rain because he was standing in the presence of God. And God said, I'm not going to have it rain for 3.5 years. And then he went and reported it. And then he ran like a wimp. Anyone here ever run like a wimp? Ran like a wimp and hid. And then the Lord revealed himself to him again and said, go tell him I'm going to have it rain again. Then he went and said, it's going to rain. And he bowed down and prayed. But just prior to all this happening, remember the Mount Carmel. Anyone here attend Sunday school growing up? Mount Carmel. What happened to Mount Carmel? It was Elijah and how many others? Come on, this Sunday school stuff. 450 plus 400, 850 total against one. You like those odds? He won. But if you read down through, and then at the end he says in his prayer, Lord, may they realize that everything I've done is because you told me to. Who told him to soak it up, fill it full of water so that there was no doubt? Who told him to enter the competition to begin with? The Lord did. The Lord did. When Jesus is living in us and us in Him, then we can pray with Jesus' authority. And it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Here's the essence of today. Prayer is intended to be wonderful intimacy with God. Prayer is intended to be wonderful intimacy with God. This is one of the problems of means and ends again. I talked about this not long after I came here. Here's what happens. People begin with a really great end in mind. Here's what we're going to accomplish. But how we're going to do it is this way. But what happens is the means takes over the end, and now the means becomes the new end. Let me illustrate it with you. You know, I have this theory. This is complete Jeff heresy, okay? Not founded in Scripture or anything. I believe that if God gives you with the ability to fix junk, then He gives you junk all your life and you fix it. Look at my vehicles. You don't know how to fix anything, God gives you new stuff. You know, it's pretty cool actually, but He put inside me how to fix junk, so I got junk, okay? So my kids have helped me fixing their junk up. You know, our Chevette and all that, you know, those wonderful vehicles, and God provided. We've always had vehicles, and God provided. So I promised the kids, and houses are the same way. The first house we bought was unlivable. Lynette walked in. To keep rodents down, they kept a couple cats in there for 3 years. Lynette's allergic to cats. We walk into the house. Her eyes swell up. And I'm like, she's filled with joy. That's a sign. I wasn't quite that bad, but she almost dropped over dead when I said, we'll take it. See, if you know, if he gives you the ability to fix stuff, you get junk. And that's okay, because he provides. So that's all background info. That's meaningless, okay? So we fixed that home up. We lived in for 10 years. I sold it. And I told the kids, now, if we make a profit, we're going to buy an old junker car. Okay? And that's what we did. So bought it for under $30,000, sold it for $60,000, had to rewire it, had to do everything. You know, gutted the thing, new house all inside, sold it for that. So what I did was I said to the kids, okay, we're going to buy an old Corvette. It's an old piece of junk. It's still an old piece of junk. But it looked nice and it sounded wonderful. It vibrated the windows in the house, okay? So they worked with me on the vet to get it ready. And I said, Jen, when you turn a senior, you get to drive the vet to school that year. The downside of that is when she was a senior, front line, new hottie at school with hot rod. Yeah, I'm real pleased about that. So then when William turned a senior, he got to drive the vet for school. Now, the first time, so you get the picture, we worked on it together. The reason why I got it was so that we could have time together and work on it. And this is true. I don't have an hour behind the wheel of that vet. I don't have an hour behind the wheel. Lynette and the kids drove it all the time. It hasn't left the garage since we moved here. I don't have an hour behind it. So the first time one of the kids wrecked it. Is everyone okay? What were you thinking? And then it hit me. You idiot. I'm talking to myself. They never heard me say this. Why did you buy that Corvette? So that I would have quality time with William and Jen, our two kids. But over time, the vet snuck over here and became an entity to itself, unto itself. And hence I said, what were you thinking? And then I apologized and I said, you know what? Now we have more things to do together on this thing. Do you see the difference? I could be wrong, but I believe that prayer is like that. Prayer is a means to have wonderful intimacy with our Father in heaven, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But how often do we pray to get stuff done and to receive stuff? So that prayer becomes the end in and of itself. And we've lost sight that it's actually just a means. Is this making sense? If it's not, I'm not explaining it well. Okay, let's look at a couple biblical images about prayer. And here's one of my favorite. And I've actually gotten in a little bit of trouble at times because I regularly say, Abba, Father. Now, these are two biblical passages. I told you before when I was preaching at one of our camps, you know, there's a couple thousand people there, and a couple people came to me and how dare you call the Father in heaven, Abba, Father? Who do you think you are? Well, gee, I think I'm his son. Now, I said it nicer than that. And I responded to them with a letter because I got letters with people being so upset at me praying to Abba Father. The scripture says it. We've been given a spirit that cries out, Abba Father, that simply means dad. Now, I don't know if Andrew's able to say dad to his father-in-law yet, but I'm pretty sure Andrew can say, hey, dad. To Scott. I'm pretty sure Lydia can turn to her dad and say, hey, dad, can you come be a part of this baby dedication?
We'd love that. Oh, I'd love that, honey.
I don't know if you said honey or not. I don't know.
I'm making all this up. Are you with me? In two places. You can't miss it. Because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, he's not just this distant God who created the universe. He's also intimate with us. And when Jesus abides in us and the Holy Spirit abides in us, we have a loving, loving relationship. And if you're doing stuff because you feel like you have to, you've missed it. You've missed out on the wonderful intimacy that God intended for all this. See, I grew up with a lot of do's and don'ts. It was a good church. But what I heard was, if you love the Lord, you will obey. And obedience was the measurement. And I'm telling you, I believe love is the measurement. If you love me, then the obedience will be a joy. It's what the emphasis is. And unfortunately, I grew up in a church, a good church, a wonderful church, and it was probably just me because I'm slow on the uptake. Amen? You know, my Greek professor looked right at me. Son, repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. He said that right after one of the Greek exams. I don't know why I said it, and I don't know why he said it right to me. Actually, I'm pretty sure I know why. Abba, Father. He is our Father in heaven, our Dad in heaven. Even the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, our Father. I guess goosebumps even thinking about that. Our Father, the one who spoke the universe into existence. We can't even find the end of it. And he sustains it by the power of his will. Do we realize that if he blinked, we'd be gone? But he loves us. Technically, that's called his transcendence, his otherliness, and his immanence is his closeness with us. When theologians don't know what to do, they make up words. Those are two of their words. Here's another image, beautiful image, that Eliana reminds me of this morning. Psalm 31, it talks about, this is a psalm of David. David talks about as a weaned child with his mom. You know, anyone notice her right now? Now, you'd have noticed her if I held her because she'd be screaming like a banshee. I don't even know what a banshee is, but she's just out of it right now. You know, she's weaned. She's satisfied. Her mom's fed her and she's just satisfied. And she's safe in her arms of her mom. David said that's how he feels with God. That's how we should feel as a child weaned from its mom, just laying there with peace and joy. And it's just there. But typically, I'm talking about me, typically, I want my prayers answered and answered now. Anyone else like that? Boy, not many honest people here this morning. I'm praying and I want it yesterday. And here's what the Father has been telling me. Yeah, you want your prayers answered now, but I want intimacy. You see, I want fixed. I want fixed. Just this last week, happened to me again. I was trying to be a good Buchananite. I don't know what you call it. So I'm sitting here at a red light. I'm the first one. There's someone over there that got their blinker on. I'm sitting there and they finally go. I get through, and here's one of the church members right behind them. I'm sure they had no idea that I was bursting a blood vessel. I don't even know that's right grammar. And I had to say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. You see, I want instant stuff. I don't even do oatmeal anymore hardly because I get impatient with the microwave heating my oatmeal. Now you guys know how to pray for me better. You see, I want fixed. I know I'm messed up. I want fixed. But what Abba wants is intimacy. He wants intimacy. Because the best way for me to get fixed is just spending time with Him. And that changes stuff. Now, let me turn to that theological movie called 101 Dalmatians. The very intro to it, you've got a pet and its owner. And what does the pet look like? The owner. And you guys got pets? No, I'm not going to go there. But when you spend time with people, you begin to be like those people. When we spend time with God, we begin to look like Him. Because just being with Him changes us. Look at people. Wherever Jesus went, people flocked to Jesus and people were changed because they encountered Jesus. Look at the disciples in Acts chapter 4, I believe it is. Here they are, they're arrested. They were already told, don't preach in the name of Jesus. And they kept preaching the name of Jesus and healing people. And then they're arrested again, and the Sanhedrin, the religious folk of the day, people just like us, they said, gee, these are ordinary, uneducated bumpkins. Now, that's my interpretation, but these are ordinary people. But they spent time with Jesus. You see, something changes in us when we spend time with Jesus. I want fixed now. He wants intimacy. You see, and again, this isn't out of any book. This isn't out of anything. This is out of my personal life right now. The goal of praying is not answered prayer. The goal of praying is not answered prayer, at least not in my life right now. The goal of praying is to draw closer to God in intimacy. Man, a little while ago, I was with someone, and they said, as they started driving there, oh, let's send a prayer gram up. I'm like, a what? A prayer gram. Well, I about dope slapped the person. And he was one of my bosses. So I didn't. But I'm telling you, I wanted to do inside. Prayer gram, what's that? Is God my, like, He's my Santa Claus? He's my concierge? No. The goal of praying is to draw in intimacy with Him. Think about it. If you were God and you knew that we would mess everything up and you'd have to send your son to clean up the mess with his own life, would you still go on with it? I wouldn't. I wouldn't sacrifice my son for you guys. I'm serious. I wouldn't. Would you? Why did He do it? Now, I don't know the mind of God, but the only thing that makes any sense to me is He loves us. And He enjoys intimacy with us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He's whole and complete, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But He enjoys and delights in you and me. And so I believe, at least at this point in my life, that the goal of praying is to draw closer to God, not just to get answered prayer. Now, here's the real message. All of that was intro. Sorry. If you don't, NLT means the New Living Translation, okay? And why did I do that? Because it says what I wanted it to say, better than some other translation. Just totally honest with you, okay? Here's what
Philippians 4 says in the New Living Translation, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which transcends anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Here's the first thing He says. Come on, at least like that. Took me a while to find that and get it on there. Anyone here a worrywart? Anyone brave enough to say you're a worrywart? Well, what's this say? Don't worry. Stop worrying. By the way, what does worry do anyway? Can worry do anything about a situation? Man, go dope slap someone at least, but don't worry. I apologize. That was Jeff, not the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. Don't worry. Why don't worry? Rather, pray. Asking Abba Father. Take it to Abba Father. And here's what I'd like you to do. And we're going to practice this in just a little bit. We're going to practice this if I don't keep talking too much. Imagine climbing up into your Abba Father's lap, your Abba Father's lap. And I got three pictures there. There's a dad with a baby, another dad holding a baby, dad with a couple little kids, dad with a baby playing there. Do you remember? I don't remember climbing up in my dad's lap because my dad's German. And my dad's kind of like, hey, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. He's not quite that bad. He's not like that now, but me growing up, it was that way, you know? But when I look around, I see little kids. You know, she's just fast asleep in daddy's arms. Just fast asleep in daddy's arms. Whenever I've gone over the house, their daughter looks at me, and then eventually the face contorts, and then she runs to them for safety. She warmed up to me the last time a little bit. But just imagine, when we have needs, the Father wants us to just climb up into His lap and tell Him everything. You know, my granddaughter, when I go see my granddaughter, I told you at the hospital, I was already there. She came in, she crossed, came into the room. She said, Gigi, that's what they call me, Gigi. And then she does one of these and starts smiling. Little kid's got me wrapped around her finger. It's pathetic. Gigi. Well, she'll climb up on my lap and she's just, you know, and it's okay. It's fun. I don't know what to do with one that little. I know what to do with a 2 or 3 year old. And the older they get, the more I know what to do with them. But that young, I'm not sure exactly what to do. Are you with me? She just enjoys climbing up in Dad's lap, leaning against, and just prattling on. See, that's the other side of the coin. The one side of the coin is, God is not your concierge. He's not there to just answer every whim. On the other side of the coin is, He's your Abba Father, and He loves you, and He delights when we just climb up into His lap and just tell Him all about our day and everything that's going on. Because He not only loves you, He likes you. He delights in you. If you prayed to receive Jesus Christ and you're here this morning, you're either a princess of the King or a prince of the King. There's no other category. The only other category is unsaved. But if you prayed to receive Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with Him, you're either a prince of the King or a princess. That's all it is. And the King loves His princesses and princes to just come into His lap and tell Him everything. Telling Abba the Father everything. And then Paul says, thanking Him for what He's already done. You know, almost every day I cry. At grief group, I said, if anyone shares that, I'll hurt them. It's true, but I'm being honest with you guys. Almost every single day I cry because I miss Lynette so much. But every day I thank God that I know where she is. Every day I thank God that Jesus met her in that hospital room and walked her through the valley of the shadow of death into paradise. I know that I know. And I'll believe that till the day I die, till the day I meet him, and then I won't even have to hope about it. Because it'll be a reality then. And if you don't see her, then you're in the wrong place. Because I know that's where she is. So I thank him. Yes, I pour out my heart to him and how it aches. But I thank him because of how blessed I am. And especially, she is in his presence. It can't get better than that. No more pain. No more cancer. None of that stuff. Now, she does not have her glorified body yet. But her spirit is in the presence of God, worshiping him and delighting in him. And I thank him every day for that. So the other side of this coin, he's not our concierge. He's not Santa Claus. It's not just a wish list. Praying is about intimacy with him and crawling up into his lap and just telling him everything. Pour your heart out to him because he's your loving father. Now, some of us had dads that were aloof. I understand that. But please, just imagine in your mind's eye the perfect dad, because that's who God is. He loves you. And then we will be receiving or experiencing his peace. And what does that mean? It's shalom. It's the opposite of this. His shalom is the opposite of this. We all recognize this guy, right? One of the Home Alones. See, God's peace means he's got it. He's in control. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, people were going to die. There isn't political transitions nice and easy like we have here. People were going to die. There'd be people that would be assassinated, beheaded, all kinds of stuff. In the year that King Uzziah died, I looked and I saw God Almighty high and exalted and sitting on the throne. I don't care what's going on in our lives. God's got it. He's in control. God is not there. Oh, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Oh, no. No. Nothing can take him by surprise. And when we are in his presence and just sitting with him, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Boy, do I need more patience. Which means I need to spend more time with him. He's not finished with me yet. Amen? Well, that's not here to hit me on the side, to reiterate that point. Don't be surprised if the world thinks you're crazy. Don't be surprised. They thought Jesus was. Don't be surprised when bad things happen and you have this peace in the world. I've had people come up to me. How can you have so much peace in the midst of this stuff? I know God's in control. And with reference to Lynette, I know where she is. Do I have loneliness in that? Yeah, but I know where she is. I have a peace. And it passes all understanding. And that's what he finishes up with in this passage. As you live in Christ, your hearts and your minds will be guarded in him. His peace. And a verse from the Old Testament, and it's talking about God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And you know, that just reminds me of Peter. Anyone here ever walked on water? So let's not knock Peter. You have? Cool. I'm going to ask you about that. Peter and one other person have walked on water. Peter sees Jesus walking on water. They're all terrified. They think it's a ghost or something. They're terrified. At least Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, can I come out?" At least Peter stepped out in faith, believing, trusting. Peter walked on water until. What did that turkey do? He started looking at the wind and he took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. Plump, down he goes. But then when he put his eyes back on Jesus, Jesus lifted him up and brought him into the boat. So let's knock Peter, because Peter was the only one that got out of the boat and walked on water. But then he got his eyes. And isn't that us? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get my eyes off Jesus and I start looking at all the stuff. And then I start worrying. Or then I start dope slapping people. Or then I get impatient with people at the red light. Or then. But then when I get my eyes back on Jesus, the peace returns. The love, the joy, the peace. And so, we have a couple minutes. One of my concerns about anything that we learn is we don't put it into practice. And so, if this is uncomfortable, from my heart to yours, life is tough, suck it up. I don't mean that. I probably do, actually, but that's Jeff, not the Lord. What I'd like us to do is just take a couple moments of silent prayer, close your eyes, and just imagine yourself climbing up onto your Abba Father's lap and just sitting there. And if you want to, tell him. Start telling him about the stuff in your life. But the goal is not to get answered prayer. The goal is just being with him, intimacy. He's your loving Father. He may or may not answer your prayer the way you desire, because he's not Santa Claus. He's not your concierge. But he loves. Suffer the children to come to me. Jesus and the Father just love children coming to him. So let's just take the next couple moments. Please, everyone, just close your eyes with me. Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, please come upon us, continue to come upon us. Help us to envision you with your arms outstretched, desiring us to just climb up into your lap and just be with you. Please draw each one of us to yourself. And even if you don't do it right now, I pray that you would do it this afternoon or tonight or tomorrow. But right now, quiet our hearts and draw us to yourself.